mighty God, a worthy God, a holy God. No, let's give him high praise. I know you've been praising. Let's lift him up. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, his name is to be praised. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, everybody that loves him, lift up your hands. Lift up your voice right now. Hallelujah, Jesus. Just talk to him from the depth of your heart. Have a conversation with him about how much you love him and how good he is, how much we owe him and how destitute we are to repay the debt. But what a God and what a love and how deep the mercy and how great the grace. Oh, we bless your name. We praise your name. Oh, God. Lord, you're mighty. Praise God. Wonderful Counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Praise God. How awesome our God, how wonderful the privilege to be a part of his people and a part of what he's doing in the earth. I'm so glad they let me into the kingdom of God. Praise God. Praise God. The kingdom of God is not buildings or pews or church cards or membership in denominations or religion at all, but the kingdom of God is, it's not meat and drink, but it's peace and joy and righteousness in the Holy Ghost. This thing is experiential. There's a cognitive part of this, but I thank God that it's something you can drink from and know and experience. It's a river of living water, a well springing up into everlasting life. Is there a witness in the house? Has God been good to you? Are you glad to have the Holy Ghost tonight? Has he transformed your life? And in your life, is he a mighty God, not generically, but personally? And you know. Praise God. Praise God. Well, what a wonderful weekend. And what a great treasure, Brother and Sister Blash are to the church tonight. Go ahead. That's fine. We love and appreciate them. And a wonderful service this morning. Just love watching how the Holy Ghost strikes like lightning and so strategically and specifically and does a work that you couldn't do in a million years. But the Holy Ghost can do that work. And I appreciate the messenger of God and the vessel of God that comes here and opens up the Word of God and is used of God. And I appreciate him so much tonight. We had a wonderful luncheon with our single mom group, and appreciate Sister Maria and a host of other people that worked that and coordinated that and served and blessed these ladies. And Brother Blash brought them a wonderful word in that place, and it was just a wonderful afternoon. I've been looking forward to this evening. And we want you to just take your liberty. We scare a lot of evangelists. They don't know exactly what to do with us, but I hope you just feel right at home in the Holy Ghost. And whatever you feel, I want you to, somebody point at him and say, "You preach to me, preacher." Tell him, "Don't hold back. Tell me what the Holy Ghost says." Do you really mean that? Praise God. Brother Blash, come tonight. We appreciate and love you guys so much tonight. Praise God. So glad you're here.
Glory, hallelujah. Praise God, everybody. Amen. What a good God. Isn't it amazing that you find sometimes when you're worshiping God, just something takes over and you have suddenly more energy and you just focus on him, and it's just, you really don't want it to stop, but you know it transitions. And isn't that amazing? I love that connection when it happens. Praise God. It's good. You can be seated. I should have allowed my wife time to speak and greet you this morning, and I didn't, but I'm going to do that tonight. Another surprise. you probably should come, and it'll be easier this way. Yeah, smart man. There you go. There you go. Always give her a hand up. Amen. Just greet this good.
Preis den wunderbaren Namen Jesus.
Praise the wonderful name of Jesus.
Amen. Preis den Namen Jesus.
Praise the name of Jesus. Man.
Ich bin so froh, heute Abend hier zu sein.
I'm so happy to be here tonight.
Und die Gegenwart Gottes zu spüren.
And just to feel the Spirit of God.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Ich vielen Dank für die Gastfreundschaft.
I want to say thanks for just the hospitality.
Und für diesen ganz ehrlichen Gottesdienst, diese ganz ehrliche Anbetung.
And just that pure and that true worship and the Spirit that's here.
Amen. Amen. Der Herr Jesus kann unsere und hat unsere Leben verändert.
Thank you.
Der Herr Jesus hat unser Leben verändert.
Jesus rescued us.
Yeah, I had.
She's like, that's not quite right, but close enough. Sorry, I got distracted.
Und er hat mein Leben völlig verändert. Okay, now I can speak in English.
No. Keep going in German.
Okay, er hat mein Leben total verändert.
My husband is so wonderful.
You got someone who can speak both languages here.
Go ahead, baby.
But he is. Aber ich möchte, dass wir ganz darauf achten, was der Herr Jesus uns heute Abend zu sagen hat.
I think it's important. I want us to really pay attention to what God wants to say to us tonight.
Und deshalb möchte ich nicht weitersprechen, sondern den Prediger predigen lassen.
And because of that, I'm going to go ahead and get out of the way and let the preacher do the preaching. She does think I'm wonderful. Genesis chapter number 2, verse number 7, 8, and 9. I appreciate your pastor, and I appreciate by extension this church, the leadership all throughout. What a tremendous witness, a tremendous testimony for this region of the world, this region of the country, that you're here. And I always say, if you know that anybody's near St. Louis, send them to us. If I know of anybody that's traveling through, I'm sending them here. They've got to experience this. This place is electric. It just sucks you in and doesn't let you go. And I could just be here worshiping with you until way past midnight and probably wouldn't even notice it. Oddly enough, the same is not true about the preaching. You'll know if I go to midnight, won't you? So thank you, Brother Sutton, for letting me come. For hanging out and laughing and teasing and putting up with my humor and batting around all the solutions for all the problems of the world with me. And just for being a good pastor. I have a feeling you love your pastor and your first lady. I thought so. I figured as much. I want to spend a few moments talking to you about something God put in my heart some months ago. I ask a lot of questions to God. What about this? How's that work? Why is it this way? And sometimes I get answers and sometimes I don't. And in prayer and in study, I just stumbled upon something that I thought, God, that's an answer to one of my questions, and I began to think it through and to read the scripture and to confirm what I was thinking. And this thought has been on my mind for a while, and I want to spend some time tonight trying to at least begin to develop it for you, and then I'll let you folks who will do a better job with this take it and develop it till it's really good, and then we'll claim it together. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, 8, and 9. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And by the way, what we felt during worship, that extra something That thing that carries you away, that's that breath. It's that connection. He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed, and out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, and the tree of life also in the garden, in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. God planted it there. Was not the devil's doing, was God's doing. I want you to just let me preach for a little bit on this thought, insatiable. Insatiable. It means the inability to really be satisfied or to be filled, to be full. Just this hunger that cannot be satisfied. And I'm going to pray that we get through this message and then God moves on us. And that hunger for him is just stirred in our hearts. It's already there. I can feel it and sense it. It's not lost, but I want it to stir it up. And if by chance it is not in your heart the way it ought to be, I want God to do something in you that causes you to hunger and to thirst after him like never before. Pray with me if you would. Father, we love you. We thank you. God, thank you for this church. Thank you for these beautiful people. Thank you, God, for what you're doing here. All the services that have already transpired, God, for your touch. God, I thank you in advance tonight for revolutionizing our life, oh God. I pray that you would stir us, God, in a way, Lord, that we've not been touched maybe in a long time or stirred maybe before at all, oh God. And God, help us to know you more, God. Help us to seek you, God. Do more, God, with this message than I can do with my own words and my own thoughts, oh God. Supersede all of that, God, and speak, God, through me as a vessel, God, to the hearts and to the souls, not just the mind of your people, God. And help us, Lord God, to respond, God, to your spirit, to the prompting of the Holy Ghost, oh God. And I thank you, Jesus. And would you lift your voice right now and somebody begin to love the Lord God Almighty. Jesus. Jesus, we honor you. Praise the name of the Lord. You can be seated. I am again in love with the book of Genesis. So much to learn. Genesis, God forms man and creates everything. And there is so much power in what God creates. And many times the power of what God creates isn't fully manifested in the moment, but over time you can see and appreciate the handiwork of God. It's like going through a trial or any other experience in life, and you look back and you begin to examine it, and you can see clearly the power of God and the plan of God and the purpose of God. God is amazing like that. And he plants a tree amongst all the other things that he put in the garden, and that thing would be forbidden. And the power of this tree is something that Adam, I would imagine, or Eve could not fully understand. It's easy to wonder why is something forbidden, but I want to take a few moments and I want to really kind of work that thought. Why would God put something there and then say it's off limits to you, and what was the power and the potential behind that? And so God puts Adam and Eve in a garden, and he says to them that you can eat of all these trees, but you've got to know something. Every experience that you have is going to be a unique experience, and it's going to open your mind to something that was never there before. Even the trees that you could eat of that were good, the moment you take a bite and your taste buds recognize that, it's going to expand what you know in ways that, well, you just can't close that door once it's open. And in particular, the tree that was forbidden, that tree, if you access that tree, and if you ate the fruit, the very first bite would not be so bad perhaps, but it would cause a hunger for more of it and more of it more often, and the drive would be so powerful that once they consume fruit from that tree, the only way to cause them not to go back to it was to expel them and push them away from it and block them away from it, because once they took a bite, something opened that should have never been opened in their understanding. I went really fast through that segment of Genesis, but let me say it like this. The things that God speaks into existence come out of his mouth with such authority and such complexity that it's hard to really fathom the potential connected to the word of God spoken into your life. When God speaks a thing into your life, he also speaks a desire that potentially can be insatiable for the thing that he spoke into your life. Let me give you an example. The Bible says that God created the universe, and today when I checked through NASA and Hubble, the universe, according to those folks, today continues to expand at about 68 kilometers per second. The God that spoke into existence obviously never said, stop. And so it continues to grow and it continues to expand. And that's an example of the things that God will speak into your life. You see why it's so powerful when somebody speaks over your life a word of prophecy. That's not just a moment in time. That's God saying, this is the plan. Sometimes this is a Genesis, or this is the beginning of something that I'm going to work out in your life. And if I speak it, there is nothing, there is no one that can say stop, other than me. And the best thing you can do is to follow the plan of God once he's spoken into your life. And so, Adam, do I have like a standard Adam? I need a standard Adam in this church, because I preach about Adam so often. You can, come on, either one of you brothers can be a standard Adam. That's kind of what I thought Adam would look like. Come on up here with me.
You'll work just fine.
God created Adam so that Adam could know God. Imagine how expansive God is. In order for Adam to know God, God would have had to create a mind in Adam that can understand God. And I know we could live a lifetime and never fully understand God, but he created us that throughout that lifetime we can continue to grow and develop in him. And so it is that as Adam would talk to God, everything that God pointed out to Adam would expand his mind and expand his understanding. And so everything was a revelation. God spoke into Adam and he gave him commandments. He would speak to him things, and as he would tell him, and this is what you ought to do, or this is how you ought to be, embedded in the commandment was a potential to do it and a desire that would be insatiable.
I get excited about this. I'm just pausing and let my brain kind of shout.
Walks and talks, and that brain is just soaking it all in. Walks and talks, and that brain is just taking it all in. And then at one point, he brings along Eve. No one ever wants to play Eve, so we're going to just pretend. And then he says, I want you to be fruitful, and I want you to multiply. And from that day forward, because of that word, potential that was already in him was released and the desire to multiply is insatiable. Look at our world. I know they've perverted it. Give me a moment to get there. That's not what God was trying to do. God was not trying to introduce perversion. God was putting into man the word that would then create more of him, that they might go forth and that they might conquer and subdue. But within mankind, the desire to do the things that God spoke to him were simply just hard to extinguish. Adam, just stay right there and hang out with me for a while. So everything that God spoke into Adam's life would start a sequence of understanding and growth and experience. And to that, there would be no end save natural death. And even that would not be an end, because later we learn throughout the New Testament things like, now we see through a glass darkly, but one day it's going to be face to face. Now we know in part, but soon we will know, or then we shall know even as we are known. So everything God spoke to Adam, he made provision for that thing. God's not joking with you when he pronounces blessings on your life. He's making provisions, and whether you can see them or not, they're there. And so by faith, we do what God has called us to do, and not only the provision, but also the will or the desire to do it. For instance, think about have dominion. Have dominion over it all. The moment that was spoken, there was something in mankind that said, I want to conquer and I want to rule. And to this day, it's still in us. I know, again, we've twisted it and perverted it, but it's there. The problem, you see, with things that are insatiable is that it's a two-way street. Galatians chapter 5, verse number 17, and stay with me while I get through this introduction. It says this, for the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary, the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led by the Spirit, someone said led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatreds, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envying, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and the such like, of which I tell you before, as I've told you in times past, they that do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Let me go back and read over some of those again and make a brief comment. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. He may as well have said this: if you open a door to these things, your appetite for them will expand and your desire for them will increase. Because that's how God created that brain and that body. Once the appetite was there, and once the desire was there, and you set your mind to it, your desire would increase for it. But there is a flip side of this thing, and it opens up our understanding a little bit more. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, and joy, and peace, and long-suffering, and gentleness, and goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Or another way you might say it is, to these things there is no end. I will put something in my people that will give you the ability to love and keep loving and keep loving and keep loving. I will put something in you that will give you joy every single day, and more joy every single day. And I will expand your capacity to want joy and handle joy. and peace and long suffering and all these things inside of you is the capacity to have these things to no end. There's a two-way street. Somebody said amen. So then he delineates at the end and say, he says this, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Again, you can go back and reread this and say, you've got two pathways, and to either of them there is no end. I'm telling you, there are people right now who are somewhere getting drunk. And today they're having a little bit, and that little bit is getting them drunk. But in about 2 or 3 weeks, their brain will adjust to the little bit, and they won't get a buzz off that little bit anymore. And they'll have to have a little bit more to get that same buzz. And they will continue to expand their capacity for that kind of high until it kills them. Because to that desire, there is no end. And there's somebody learning to worship for the very first time. Oh, they've been around you for a while. They've seen you for a while. They've heard you, but they've never really done it the way you do it. And so they're trying it, and they felt something tonight. And they're not sure what they felt. They can't articulate it like you can, but they know they felt something. And they're going to go tell their coworkers tomorrow that they felt something. And there's a desire in that to feel more of that. That's why he gave you an inexhaustible capability to feel it. I was in the Dominican Republic. And stay there, Adam. You just look good standing there. Man, if people are worshiping, even if I don't have the energy to keep up, which usually I do, I got to move. I got to do something. I just got to move. And it was hot. It was summer. I had preached. It was probably 100 degrees. I had sweated through everything. I was just tired. I felt hypoglycemic. I was just dizzy, tired, and had low blood sugar. I mean, I just felt, but I just couldn't stop, man. They just wouldn't stop. I think they were trying to kill me. I got to the point, I was so tired. I was just doing this. This is all I could do. I mean, sweat was dripping off my legs. This is all I could do. I just do that. I couldn't even keep my eyes open. I leaned back. Man, the music was thumping. I just did like this, and that's all I could do. And finally, they couldn't even see it, but my big toe was just doing this inside my shoe, just doing that. That's all I could do. I could just try. And I opened my eyes, and I saw a lady. She must have been 80, and she was going like this. I thought, no, you didn't, Grandma. I got that tired body of mine up, and I did like that. That's all I could do. I can get that one leg up, and I'm like, there is no way. They're going to carry one of us out. All right. I couldn't stop worshiping. Although my physical body wanted to quit, there's a spirit man on the inside that said, I can do this all night long. Right. It feels right. It feels good. God put that on the inside of us. And if it wasn't for fatigue, and if it wasn't for a change of service order, y'all would still be worshiping with the choir right now, because God put something on the inside of us that simply can't get enough of this stuff. I can't stop praising his name. I just can't stop praising his name. I just can't stop. You get in some places and they'll sing that. Can't stop praising this name. I just can't stop praising this name. I just can't stop praising this name. And then somebody just does it because they like doing it. But while they're praising God, they start to think about his goodness. While they're praising God, they think about the fact that a few weeks ago they were sick and almost died. And it becomes personal. I just can't stop. Now, if you do that, here's what's going to happen. You do that for a few moments, you're going to wake up tomorrow, you're going to want more of it. And you're going to want it more often. And if you do it that day, you're going to wake up and you're going to want more of it. And you're going to want that more often. Because God created you to worship. And he created you to have an expansive ability to take everything he can give you. And it becomes, all right, have a seat. I'm not done yet, but. How you doing? I wonder if Adam danced. I can think of maybe two occasions. One when he first got up and was like, I used to be dirt. I was not a people, but now I'm a people, or at least a person. And then the second time he got up again and Eve was there. It was like, I'm just wondering, that's all. I'm not saying it happened, I'm just wondering. Hear this. The law of potential is that by its very nature, it's a two-way street. If one decision can ruin your life, then one decision can change your life for the better. The problem with desire is it's a two-way street. It's what you give yourself to. You play video games for 6 hours a day. Then you're going to want that. You're going to want more of it, and you're going to want it more often. Your brain expands without end to anything you give yourself to. That is the nature, after all, of an addict. The Bible says, for instance, thou wilt show me, this is Psalms 16 and 11, thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. Say it with me. In thy presence is fullness of joy. One more time. In thy presence is fullness of joy. And at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. That's the word of the Lord. Come on back here, Adam. That means in here must be the potential to receive and benefit from pleasure. Because God said, I want you to go after my presence, and in my presence there's fullness of joy. At my right hand, there are pleasures forevermore, which means you got to have the capacity to take in pleasures forevermore. You're not even going to live forevermore. So until you die, your brain and your heart will continue to expand to be able to handle all the blessings and all the pleasure that God can bring to you in one lifetime. If you give yourself to it. But you can take a shortcut, because in doing all of that, God had to create a pleasure center in the brain. Here's the other side of that street. You can take drugs, and those drugs can make you feel high, and those drugs will create a shortcut to that pleasure center, and you will feel pleasure. And if you take more drugs, that same expansive capability will happen. And you will feel more pleasure. And if you take more drugs, you will feel more pleasure. The problem is, you're going to die. You get so addicted to that pleasure that you end up taking more of those drugs than your body can metabolize in one sitting. And you end up destroying this body. That's the wrong side of the pleasure deal. And by the way, the goal was not to seek pleasure. The goal was to seek His presence. But if you go around His presence and you try and shortcut just to the pleasure, you're going to have a problem, Houston. Oh, man. Y'all ready to have a little fun? So he gets on drugs and he receives pleasure, but it starts to shut down his organs. On the other hand, somebody comes to church and they worship and they get in the presence of God. And there's this pureness about it. And in there, there is a healing virtue and it heals their body. And while his liver is rotting away, or while his kidney is burning out, while his heart is struggling, and while his other organs are failing, on the other side, you're doing it the way God designed it. And your capacity to love Him is increasing. And your capacity to know Him is increasing. You're saying, Brother Blash, how long can I stay in this download state? Well, if it was possible to stay there, you could stay there until you take your last breath. And then you would step over to the other side and you get the pure deal. And you recognize what you were getting here was only the tip of the iceberg. Somebody said insatiable. Hallelujah. I feel the Holy Ghost helping us here. In your presence is fullness of joy. Stand with me. I'm not quite done yet, but I just felt the Holy Ghost right there in that moment. In your presence, there is fullness of joy. I want to just take a few seconds and I want to pray over anybody that needs some joy right now. You're not going to find it anywhere other than His presence. If you want joy, get to His presence. If you want joy, seek Him. Seek Him. If you seek Him, you will find Him. You'll find Him and you'll find that He is also seeking after you. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for that one right now who's lost her joy. I pray for that one right now who's lost his joy, oh God, in your presence, Father. There is fullness of joy. And God, you've designed us and you've created us, God, to take in that joy. Somebody lift your voice and begin to pray in the name of Jesus. Maybe you're not praying for yourself. Maybe it's for somebody to the left or to the right of you. You know, the interesting thing, see, the devil will use you because if this man becomes a druggie, there's a good chance that expansive capability of him to be able to receive joy after he is dead, that bad habit will be passed down to his children and his children's children. But how many know that's not how it's supposed to work? It's supposed to be that the Holy Ghost is the thing that you get, and that joy and that power, that's the thing that you pass down to your children and your children's children. You can have a seat for a moment. Have a seat, bro. Brother Adam. the purpose of joy was not for just joy. It was so that you would seek God's presence. In it, there would be joy. It was a bonus. I want to recount for you one of the coolest services I've ever been in our local church. And our local church at times can be a little, well, unglued. I think you would fit right well in that church, by the way. We were having service. Man, we just forgot about everything. We just had church. It was just good church. Folks shouting, folks dancing, folks back there arranging calendars, and I don't know what they were doing, but, you know, just everybody was doing everything everywhere, and it was a good spirit in the house. And there was a man at the church, and I knew him well. We were friends at one time, but I had not seen him like this in a very long time, well, ever. He was he was in a psych ward when I picked him up. That was maybe a Friday. We got him a place. He wasn't ready to go home, I think, Saturday. He went home sometime Saturday night, maybe. When I picked him up, he had a afro that was matted down and unkempt, and he had a coat that didn't match anything, and his demeanor was, he was just out of it. He was spacey, and he was out of it. And I don't know what happened. He had some sort of mental break. And I thought, well, we don't need to put him in an institution. I can take care of him. We'll get this figured out. And so I got him out, and we got him some care, and we began to work with him. But it didn't take very long before he was in a church service. And he was there with his wife, a lovely lady. And we're having church, and we're in this service. And the Spirit of the Lord speaks to me and said, wash his feet. Where I looked up, and there was a young boy on the front row here, and I thought, I'm going to wash that boy's feet. And so I said, somebody, go get some water. Go get some water and get a bucket and get some towels, and I'm going to wash feet. You're going to do what? Just go do it. Okay, went and did it. Came back, and folks are singing. Folks are shouting. And I go down to that young boy, and I wash his feet, and oh, man, he just broke, and something in him, boom, just, it was amazing what happened. He's a tremendous minister today, but he just broke, and God did a great work in his life, and I just came back, and I said, so-and-so, I don't even know why I was saying it, you, go wash his feet. Brother, you go wash that brother's feet. Don't know why I was doing this. Sister so-and-so, go wash his feet. So we have no, this isn't planned. So we don't have that many buckets. So they go find buckets from everywhere. Go get the one to catch in the leak in the kitchen. Go get that one. Go get that bucket. They even got buckets from everywhere. And get the offering plate. Get everything you can get. We're going to wash feet, right? We're going to wash feet. So we got about 4, 5, or 6 little foot washing stations. I look back to this man, and he's spaced out. God said, have his wife wash his feet. So I called him up to the front, put a chair right here. I said, Sister so-and-so, wash his feet. Man, she was so eager. She was like, yes. I mean, she was serious about this. I thought, wow, praise God, man, the Spirit is moving. And she got down there. He let her do all that stuff, half paying attention, half spaced out. She got his shoes off, put his feet into the thing, and those feet probably hadn't been washed in a little while, and she was in the Holy Ghost. Man, she was crying and praying, and I don't know what was happening, right? I don't know why I was doing this stuff. And she started washing his feet, and she's praying, and I lay my hands on her, and she's praying, and she's washing his feet, and I'm close enough now because I'm praying for her as she's doing this to her husband. I'm praying for her, and I look at him, and every time I look at him, he looks back at me with a little bit more clarity. It's almost as if every time the water comes down, scales fall off his eyes, and one time, and then another time, and then his hands go up in the air, and then he starts praising God, and before long he's in his right mind. He's going, oh, God is good. Oh, God is good. And oh, thank you, Jesus. And God healed that man. And I'm not even 100% sure what was wrong with him.
But I know how to get him into the presence of God. And God is a great physician. He's a wonderful counselor. It didn't matter if it was physical or if it was mental. We were in the right place. And the wife said, she's looking at me, right? She can't believe this is working. I mean, because there's no chemistry in that water. It's just water, right? Get old inner city water. That's probably what it was. And she's looking at me like, this is working. This is working. She had heard about foot washing. She understood the things of the Spirit. But she had never done it herself and saw a miracle like that. And she said, what is this? I said, this, my sister, is God blessing your action of standing by your husband as his helpmeet and washing his feet. And as you wash his feet, there was something released from the supernatural realm, and it brought forth healing. And she said, I don't get that. But Pastor, we need to do more of it. What was she doing? She had bitten to a piece of God's Holy Ghost fruit. And when she did, it expanded her mind. And she said, I want more of this, and I want it more often. And God put a capacity in her to have those experiences every single day. And the more she has, the more she's going to want of it. Talking about sweet people, talking about wonderful people, talking about kind and helpful and obedient people. Man, there's not too many people like them. I may have testified about this before, but this is one of my favorite little ladies, and so I talk about her, I guess, a little bit. She's the most special 12 or 13. I don't know how does Makai. She's 14 now, I think. She's my height. She's like part girl, part giraffe. Somebody lift your hands for a moment. Father, we hunger and we thirst after you. We hunger and we thirst after you. Even this church, God, which is so dynamic and so amazing and operating, God, so far above so many other churches, God, this is just, Father, the tip of the iceberg. There is so much more, God, and the more we know of you, the more we want to know of you. And you've given us, God, an insatiable hunger, oh God. And I can't get enough of you. Thank you. Jesus, in your name, oh God. Jesus, in your name. Why don't you stand to your feet right now and lift your hands? Why don't you push every distraction aside right now? I realize not everybody will do this, but those that will push just one step beyond where you've been before in the Holy Ghost, you will taste something tonight, and it's going to put a desire in you. It's going to put a hunger in you, and you're going to know it's from God because it's going to align with the purpose of this church. You're going to know it's from God because it's going to be a confirmation of what you've heard from your pastor. But you've got to push past where you've been before in the Holy Ghost. For those of you that will do it, there's an impartation. God's going to speak something. It's going to light a fire in you that will never go out. You'll know it's there because you're always going to want more of Him. More of you. Less of me. More of you. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. If you don't taste it, you may not believe it, but if you taste it tonight, you will never question this again. Would you taste and see tonight that the Lord is good and He is faithful? He is faithful. Open my understanding, God. Open my heart, God, and my mind. God, I give myself to You in ways and in areas that I've never given myself to You before. I want to seek Your presence with abandonment. Because in Your presence, there is fullness of joy. Come on, somebody, let God speak things to your life tonight that are going to be spiritual impartations that will open you wider, will allow you to go deeper, deeper in Him. Give yourself to Him. There is no end to this. There is no end to this. Deeper, Lord. Deeper, Lord. I seek You, God. Somebody cry out to the Lord. Come on, push your way deeper into the presence of God. Push your way deeper into the presence of God.
Drink from the cup in your hand. Lay back Dream from the curtain.